Am I off? Oh, there we go. Whew, I thought you left me. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for being the pastor that you've been through all these years. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, teaching, exhorting. Amen. I'm glad there was a little church when I needed one. Amen. I didn't think much about it back in 1989. I thought I was good to go. I was nowhere near good to go. Amen. But I was going to school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and kind of down there living, doing the best I could, going to school and working and working and going to school and working. And I know what that's all about. Back then, you could work 40 hours a week and go to school full time. But I remember working and having a hunger in my heart for God, but I didn't know really what to do with it. You know, I didn't think I really had truth, but I remember asking people at work, questioning their religion and wondering where they went to church. You know, as guys would talk to guys on the job or so, but this one fella, I knew he was living with his girlfriend, so I was kind of like, you know, something just doesn't seem right with that picture, you know. But I still had that hunger, and even though I wasn't living right, Brother Gilgenbach was up here and got baptized, and my brother John was also with Brother Gilgenbach, very close in age spiritually. So Brother Gilgenbach would call me on our 800 number at work because he was always cheap, and he didn't want to spend a nickel. So when I was at work, he would call me, and I'd say, oh. And he would talk to me about God, and he actually sent me a Bible. And I remember having a Bible in my apartment and trying to witness to people about what I was being witnessed to, you know, with cans of beer all over and a Bible, you know, but I didn't know anything. And he sent me a cassette tape, and I was thinking about that. During song service, he sent me a cassette tape, and I remember in that cassette tape there was a preaching, and at the end of the preaching there was a tongues and interpretation that I knew nothing about. And in that tongues and interpretation, all I remember was God was saying, I am a river. And that's what I want to preach tonight about. I am that river. And something just like, what is that? You know? So, long story short, I came back home after I graduated, and I visited this church, and man, it's been good ever since. It's been, I never expected to know and to be a part of what I am. And I've seen a lot of come, I've seen a lot of go. And I know what Pastor's talking about. It can be trying. There can be times where it seems rough. And if you want to make it to heaven, I've always said, you will make it to heaven if you really want to make it. But you got to really want to make it. It's all up to you, but you got to want to make it. And if you really want to make it, you will make it. But there will be things that will try you and test you, and it'll be at that point, you'll have to make a decision. Do I really want to make it? But I believe you're here tonight because you want to make it. So, the pastor baptized me in Jesus' name. On April 1st, 1990, I was a fool for the Lord officially, and April Fool's Day, but it's been awesome. I think as you get older and mature in God, you realize even more and more what you have than even that first experience, you know, and those many times that, boy, you could have slipped away, but God, you know, I don't think any one of us will take credit when we get to heaven. It's going to truly be the amazing grace of God that he has kept us through the years. And when we could have slipped away, and man, God just wouldn't let go. So I thank God. I thank my pastor and his wife and all these years and all the preaching and teaching. And I mean, I put together a message for tonight, and I tell you what, it was a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You may not think it is, but I was working for days, and at 2 o'clock, God completely changed it. And then I went into panic mode, But God finished it at the last minute. You know, it just, that's, I don't know why it has to be that way. But sometimes that's just the way it is. And I'm fine with that. I just want to do the will of God. And when you hit that roadblock and you go back into prayer and you get up and try again and another roadblock, but finally God opens a door. You know, that's, man, that's a living God, you know. He is alive. And you won't experience that until you're in the fire, you know, and that pressure's on you. And it's like, God, you know, 4 hours, I got to be in that pulpit, and this isn't working. But God's like, merciful. Don't worry, I got you. So if you would stand, amen. I want to preach to you about a river. John chapter 10. It's a river that'll change your life. John chapter 10 and verse number 24. The title of this message is Beyond Jordan. Verse number 24 of John chapter 10 says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" Verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "It is written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the world of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he, Jesus, abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Jesus went to the river Jordan, where it all began in his ministry. Amen. Would you pray with me that God would have his way tonight? Lord, you've been so faithful, so true, so honest, so powerful. God, you're the one who brings salvation. You're the one who brings the answers and bring all good things, Lord. We'd ask that you would touch this message, open our eyes, our ears, and all good things, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a river that God has put in our lives. It is a river that needs to be frequented often. If left alone, it will continue to flow, but we will dry up. It's a river that flows with mercy, truth, strength, comfort, and so much more. And tonight I want to talk about this river named Jesus. It appears that from our text, that the Jordan area was a very special place for Jesus. It was special enough to go to when he wanted to retreat. It was in this area where John the Baptist was doing much of his baptisms with his disciples, according to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read this. It's in John chapter 1, verse number 6. Familiar verses. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, being John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 9 says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He is the true light. His desire is that every one of us would have his light in our life, and that we would be the light to others as well. "He came unto his own, but his own received him not." Those are the Jews. So God opened up the door to the Gentiles. That's me, that's you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I wasn't born the son of God, but somehow Jesus reached out and said, "You know what? I like you. I want you. Amen. And I've got a preacher over here. I'm going to send you to him. He's going to tell you how to be saved." And that has happened to every one of us. Amen. One by one. Amen. Now, John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, he said, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and denied not," the Bible says, "but confessed, 'I am not Christ,'" John was saying. "Well, who are you then, Elias?" And he says, "I am not. Are you a prophet?" He said, "No." Then they said, "Well, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Isaiah, or a prophet?' John answered them and said, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John sees Jesus coming and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water.'" Jesus was born after John the Baptist. We know that. But yet, even John the Baptist recognized that Jesus came before him, ahead of him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Without controversy, without arguments, without negotiation, great is the mystery of godliness. It's as if it is a mystery. And it can be hard to get our heads wrapped around all that God did, how he came in a body of flesh, how he put himself upon the cross, and yet in that body was the full measure of God's Spirit. But yet it was not all of God's Spirit, but it was as much as that body could hold. And yet it sometimes is mind-boggling to know how God did it. And it's still a great mystery. It's a great lesson on oneness of God and so many scriptures that bring it all together, as Pastor has taught Sunday morning about the lion and the lamb. You know, that was, you see two roles God was playing. You know, he's the lion that roars, but yet he's also the sacrifice and the lamb. So, and if you haven't seen that, you need to watch it. It's very in-depth. What does it mean to be born again? John 3:3. I just want to take a quick little detour here and build a little foundation. But Jesus said in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Right? "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it comes and whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Everybody remember when you were born of the Spirit? Amen. I don't know where it happened for you, but it happened to me in an old Sturtevant church. I didn't know it was coming, but it came. And when it came, you knew it, right? There's no question, well, what just happened? Wow, that was God. Your lips are trembling and you begin to speak in a new language you never learned. Amen. We've got the goods. Acts 2:38. I want to read a few verses here. I know a lot of you know these verses, but in case there's somebody here that has not heard them. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." God was so merciful to put all of this in one scripture, condensed down, so easy. Look, you just got to repent, get baptized in Jesus' name. Why? For the remission of sins. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I don't know what other religions do with that verse. It's probably one they would like to get rid of amongst many more. But we preach it. So once we are born again, we become the sons of God. John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And Romans 8:14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." A month ago, I talked in the prison with Brother Paul Dorflinger about the 99 sheep and the one that ran off. And, we know God's attention and God's focus is on the 99. It's on the 100. There's a flock. He's the shepherd. It's a perfect parable that God was showing us, that if you want to be protected by God and be in God's favor, you really want to be where God's attention is. So God's got 100 sheep. And he's watching them, right? He's the shepherd, so you got this story going on. Well, one of them decides to book it to the mountains and run off. All right, so then I started thinking, well, once he left those 99, he didn't just leave the 99. He also, that little sheep also left the shepherd. Then it went to the mountains, and I don't know what good a sheep is going to do in the mountains. And sometimes, or all the times, if we leave the house of God and we leave God, guaranteed we're not going in a very safe place. And it may not end up very safe for your life. So the shepherd decides to leave the 99, where I probably would have been like, you know what? I ain't going to risk the life of these 99. These are good sheep. That dingbat should have listened. Good luck to you, buddy. But that's not Jesus. He goes after the 99, or after the one, to the mountains to look for it. And the Bible says that he came back after he found it, rejoicing. And I was thinking, well, why was he rejoicing? I think the reason was because the odds of him finding that sheep was probably like slim to none. You know, I don't know. He probably was thinking, well, I'll go look, but I'll probably find a pile of wool and some blood. But when he found it, it was like, whoa. But I was wondering, I wonder what that little sheep thought when the shepherd rounded the corner. And there he is standing there. He could either be like, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing out here. I don't know why I left. Or he could have been like, I don't want to go back, but here's the shepherd now, and now it's decision time. Do I take off running again, or do I just come back to the shepherd and realize I made a mistake? Somehow, I believe that sheep, you know, probably had a few brain cells and allowed the shepherd to get a hold of him and bring it back. If we stray, if we leave, you know, we've got to realize it's better in the house of God. It's better among the 99. It's better where the focus of God is. If God is there to watch the 99, he's providing those sheep with security, protection of their health. He's watching over them. And it would be foolish to leave. So according to our text, John chapter 10, Jesus in verse 40, he goes away, the Bible says, beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. I don't know why he went to the Jordan. It appears that Jesus wanted to and needed to just get away and spend some time reflecting maybe on things he maybe wanted to be around some normal people. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, those people, when he got to the other side of Jordan, they actually appreciated him and wanted to be with him. The other fellas wanted to stone him and kill him. So even though he was preaching them truth, they wanted to kill him. I suppose if somebody wanted to kill me all the time, I'd probably want to take a break from them and say, you know what? I'm going to go over here for a while because you guys ain't getting it. But it was a place where it all began to him. So he goes on the other side of Jordan where John was baptizing. Maybe he's reminiscing about when John was still alive and the conversations they've had. A place where he called many of his disciples. But either way, it was at this river that he abode for a while. And while there, he had much better audience, and he converted many people. You know, there's a river we need to draw close to as well. Jesus got himself back to that river and refreshed himself. We don't need a break from spiritual things. Some people think services three times a week is too much. I tell you what, you need as much as you can get. You don't need a break from spiritual events, but we need a constant river experience. There's a river of God's Spirit that needs to be in our life. We need the Holy Ghost to fill us again and again and again. And getting back to where the Holy Ghost first touched us and filled us. Not physically. I don't need to go back to Sturtevant and look at the old baptistry and expect that to refresh me. But the experience I had with getting filled with the Holy Ghost, that experience I need to go back to continually, time and time again. The fire that burned inside back when you were born again, is it still burning? The love of the scriptures that were before your eyes, is it still being read and held as salvation itself? This is your Jordan. This is your river. This is your life. But some of us can get on the wrong side for too long, and God's trying to call us back. Some take a break too far from this river Jordan. from the river to where their ministry started, a river from a time in their life where they needed to be closer to God. But rather than getting to that river, getting to that source of life, they drift away. Needing a break? Don't find your break from church. Don't find your break from God. Don't take a vacation from God that pastor has always said throughout the years. But it's just the opposite. We need a break from surroundings that do not promote God and the things of God. If there are things in our life that are constantly weighing us down and they're not promoting the things of God, cut them off. We don't need some false retreat somewhere, some hobby to get lost in, some business to get lost in, and meanwhile our Bible sits with dust on it. Our prayer life is nil, and we think it's God's fault. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 1, God has to take the Apostle John and put him on an island, an isle all by himself. Of course, it appears that some emperor did it, but it was really God's will to put him there. God had an assignment for John, and that was to write and record the book of Revelation. But in there, John was also going to write to seven churches. And in chapter 2, he has to write to the church of Ephesus in verse 1, saying, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Remarkable, but nonetheless, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Amen. God knows what our love meter is showing. Amen. And God goes through an effort to get a hold of an apostle to write, and then take those writings back and give them to the pastor of that church and say, "This is what God told me." So Jesus takes a little time out. You know, he's flesh. He gets tired too and weary, preaching to those who want to kill him. I guess that could become taxing. And if Jesus needed a retreat to get back to refreshing, to get back to a place where maybe he can reminisce and be by that river, I'm guessing we too could get a little weary at times as well and need a refreshing. That Holy Ghost river, as what I heard in 1989 on that little cassette tape, that river is still flowing, that river is still moving. And every church service should be a visit to that Jordan River. Song service should be that river of refreshing we all need. Especially when the world would like to stone us and get rid of us and kill us off. We come into a place where there's the presence of God moving and there's preaching. And if you can stay faithful to that, I don't believe you'll have to worry about slipping away. Amen. Don't come at the last minute and leave at the first minute. Come and hang out for a little while. Come a little early, rub some elbows, say, "Hi, brother, how's it going?" Stay a little while longer. You know, I think there's a lot of things that can be shared from person to person that God would like to maybe talk to you through the voice and lips of somebody else, your brother or your sister. And in order for that to happen, you have to be there. God could bless you with something before service. God could bless you with something after service. Amen. And you could be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. I believe when I came to church, I needed some people that had been around for a little while to kind of tell me what was going on. Amen? Yes, there was the preacher, but It's good to have a brother there that says, you know what, try this. We have church Sunday night. We got a prayer meeting this. And all of a sudden you start to get connected and you start to get led and directed by spiritual people. We must get to this river so that he can talk to us as well. Without communication with God, we will die. You know, that should be fundamental. If we're not communicating with him, we're basically being religious. We're hoping that some form of religion is going to keep us going, but I tell you what, there's so much pull and attraction out in the world that I don't think it's going to work. The Bible says, as Pastor mentioned already, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I mean, I could stop right there. It's like a no-brainer. Oh, you mean everything I do, I'm going to do good at? God's going to bless? Okay, tell me what to do. Amen. So, church, do you remember your Jordan experience? Do you remember your river experience where you were baptized in Jesus' name, where you came in? Maybe some of you were raised in the church like my kids were. But you can still have an experience within your life where God truly shows himself real. Amen. That experience where every weight, every sin left you, that experience where you wanted to know more about what was written in this book, even when you went back home and you had resistance from family and from friends, there was still that the power of God, that river, the Holy Ghost that was still keeping you. God was like, no, you're in my hands. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. Amen. We all have had that Jordan experience. It's a place where everything changed in our life. It was a supernatural touch of God. And tonight, that river, it still flows. We still have a baptistry. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name tonight, don't delay. If you need the Holy Ghost, if it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues, if it's been a long time since you stirred that gift up, don't wait another day. Amen. This is your salvation. If the musicians would come. And thank you, musicians, for all that you do. Amen. Glory to God. If you would stand with me, please. Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nation. Amen. There is a river that we got to be so close to. There is a river that God doesn't want us just walking in ankle deep and thinking that we're living life. There is a river that we have to press into. Not always at church service can you press into it. But find that river at home. Find that river in your office. Find that river in a place where you can get alone with God, where you can begin to spend time with God and have God talk to your heart. And say, God, I want to know. I need to know, God, and I'm not leaving this prayer room until you tell me. God is alive. God is living. But our religion can't be dead and expect to feel God and expect to have the experience of God. That river wants to move in our lives. But he'll be stopped if we don't desire. There's people around you that will never get touched by you if you don't get touched by God. And we'll just keep getting older and older and older. But as soon as we can, if you want to live this life and really live it, you got to get to that river of life. There is that river that God wants to touch our hearts. If our heart's been turned stony, if you're critical, if you find more bad things than good things, you need to get to the river. Oh God. Oh God. I just want to hear from God. I want to be able to know where that river is. I want to be able to find it for myself. I want it to be well frequented in my life. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus. There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. Oh, take me to that river, God. I don't want to grow to be critical in my spirit, but I want to be alive in Christ. I don't want to be faithless when I can be full of faith. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how long you've been around, but God wants all of us. Get into that river. Amen. The altar is open.